Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Thursday. How the heck is it Thursday already? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Always appreciate you guys being here. Today, we're going to be talking about free agent cornerbacks, which ones could potentially make sense for Green Bay. We've done a lot of these deep dives already. If you haven't checked out the deep dives yet, we've got, what do we got? Travarius Ward, Asante Samuel, Byron Murphy, DJ Reed, Rasul Douglas. Also, Justice and I broke down Paulson Adebo as well in a recent episode. So we've done a lot of the deep dives on some of these core corners already, but I wanted to take a deeper dive into the position as a whole, not only going over the top free agents, but what other free agents could potentially be out there, as well as taking a look at some potential cut candidates and trade candidates. So we will go through all of that today and see if we can find some corners that might just be a fit for Green Bay. And we know that this is a need. We'll get to that in just a moment. Before we get there, the one big piece of news and notes that happened on Wednesday was not specifically Packer related, but was certainly NFL related. And that is that the salary cap is going to be between an incredible $277.5 and $281.5 million. That is a massive number. Last year, it was $255.4 million. So you're looking at least, at minimum, a $22 million a year increase, or you know, $22 million increase for this year, which is incredible. And it could be even more than that, right? $26 million is what we're potentially looking at here. Teams had been budgeting for between $265 and $275 million. So even if they were on the high end, $275, it's still a few million above that, if not potentially $6.5 million above that. That is a significant, significant increase to the salary cap. And it is going to cause, I think, some chaos and some very, very, very bad decisions. We've been talking about this for a hot second now. This is not a good free agent class. Now, maybe some additional players get released that ultimately bring you more salary cap, or more salary cap space if the team's releasing them, but more opportunities to go out and spend that salary cap space elsewhere with new players that become available. Even with that being the case, I don't think we're going to all of a sudden see a slew of releases of like the most talented players in this, in the league, that are just out there and available. This is a poor free agent class, no matter what way that you want to look at it. There are good players out there, no question about it. But when you start getting into the upper echelon, let me just put it this way. I like T. Higgins, okay? He's a very good football player. If T. Higgins is the 1A shining star of your free agent class, that kind of tells you everything that you need to know. Trey Smith kind of being the number two guy, that also kind of, I like Trey Smith, very good football player. But if that's the headliners of your free agent class, it quite frankly just is not that great of a free agent class. And then add on top of it that T. Higgins is franchise tagged. So it's basically Trey Smith as the headliner. A guard, again, nothing against guards. I love guards, but you know, a really, really, really good guard, maybe a great guard, might end up being the headliner of this free agency class. Like, that is absurd. There are just not that many premier players, or you could maybe even argue no premier players that are available out there in free agency. And now you have teams with massive salary cap space. The New England Patriots have $120 million at least that they're going to need to go out and spend in free agency. That is an absurd number. The Commanders, you might just be thinking, well, the Patriots are bad. Even if they spend $121 million, they're still going to be bad. Maybe the Commanders, who I might remind you were pretty freaking good, made it to the NFC Championship game, will have $82.2 million, or at least have $82.2 million in salary cap space. The Packers, meanwhile, as of right now, projected, Ken Ingles posted this out there, for his numbers, 400, that'd be nice, $45.5 million in salary cap space. Now, that's just the actual space itself. Everyone should know by now that that's not what you can specifically go out and spend. Actually, Green Bay could spend more than that because that's not even including any restructures if they wanted to go in that direction and borrow money from the future. They shouldn't need to. They shouldn't do that. But if they needed to or wanted to, they could. But they could actually spend more than that. But we know that you need to have a slush fund in season. There's going to be draft picks that you need to pay, you know, their own free agent signings like Brandon McManus and things like that. So that's not all encompassing. But 40, and that same thing for the other teams as well. But 45.5 million. So just to put that in perspective, Green Bay can pretty much do almost anything they want in free agency. Like they can't sign everyone, all right? But they can go out, they could sign like 3-4. Like top players, like they could legitimately get that done if they wanted to. Just to give you another example here, 45.5 million is their open salary cap space at the moment. Josh Jacobs plus Xavier McKinney last year in year one of their deals, 13.1 million combined. 13.1 million combined in year one of their contracts. And I saw somebody over on social media ask me the question of, well, why don't you just front load the contracts? And then if you have this extra money this year, front load a bunch of these contracts, and then you're going to get them for super cheap down the line. Theoretically, you could do it. It just doesn't make any sense anymore. We are now in an era, and we've been in an era for a while, of carrying over salary cap space. If you don't use it in 2025, it automatically carries it over to 2026. So if you give... like, let's say you give Josh Jacobs $5 million now and a new contract. This is just an example, right? We could use a free agent here, but let's just say you give Josh Jacobs a 2-year deal and it's a $5 million deal this year and a $25 million deal next year, all right? 30 mil total. And you say, well, let's switch it. Let's do $25 million this year and $5 million next year. Well, you've basically, again, just taken, you know, 20 extra million that you can't carry over into next year and put it into this year. And now Josh Jacobs might be angry or upset that he's only getting paid $5 million next year and ask for a new contract. There's really no benefit to front-loading contracts anymore, which is why you see just about zero teams ever front-load contracts anymore. Just not worth it. You can carry over the extra space anyway. So if you pay him $20 million less this year, you get to carry over that $20 million to help pay for him next year. There's no advantage to front-loading a contract. Now, you don't have to backload it. You can even it out through the course of the deal. You could put a little bit more now, whatever. Like, you could do some different things like that, but you don't want to just give, like, all right, we're going to do a 2-year, $30 million deal. We'll pay him $29 million this year, $1 million next year. Usually, it doesn't work out that way. And again, you're not really gaining anything from it anyway. And what you're going to end up have happening here is all these teams, not all of them, but the vast majority of them, have this massive amount of money to spend. And it's a poor free agent class. So what is that going to do? These middle class of, you know, talented players, not elites, but good to really good players, are about to get great to unbelievable contracts. And it probably ends up being fine for the most part, but you want to be a little bit careful with it because you don't want to have somebody on contract that you're releasing in a year or two because you gave them a stupid contract when you had some extra money now. That's not good practice. It's not one you want to get into. But you also, if you're a team like Green Bay, right? You also don't want to see teams like Washington or Minnesota, Detroit, all these other teams go out and say, well, you know what? It's great that, you know, or maybe we don't want, we're ideally wouldn't love to overspend on some of these players, but we need to improve our team. And all of a sudden, if all these other teams are improving their teams in free agency and Green Bay sitting back being like, well, we don't really want to spend anything because these guys are all getting overpaid, there might actually be some wisdom in that, but all those teams are getting better and you are not. So you almost have to participate in the charade of giving these massive contracts to not players who should not be getting massive contracts in order to be able to compete with everyone else. It ends up in this very weird dynamic. So how every NFL team, and specifically what we care about here is the Green Bay Packers, navigate this free agency period with good to really good, but not really great players that are about to get unbelievable contracts in a from the player standpoint, that's going to be really, really interesting. And buckle in or buckle up or however you want to view it, because this is going to be, I think, a wild offseason, and we could see some really, really, really funny money get thrown around. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Trey Smith got 30 mil. I think T. Higgins could get 35 mil. Like, I think we are going to see some ridiculous, ridiculous numbers thrown around for some of these players. Or maybe teams all decide, hey, we're going to pump the brakes a little bit. We're not going to give any crazy deals. There's plenty of, you know, free agents to sign out there. And maybe you have a few of those guys go first. And then maybe you see a lot of one-year deals. You know, we've got money to spend right now, but we're not going to do anything past the season. We're going to give one-year deals with big money to a player, but we're not going to make these big 4 or 5 year, you know, $200 million deals or anything crazy like that. Could be that way. That would save you then, you know, from giving those longer term deals that you're going to have to put into players into future as well, where you may not have this money floating around. It's going to be very interesting. Very, very intrigued to see how really every team attacks this, but specifically how the Green Bay Packers attack it. All right, let's get into the cornerback conversation. I'm going to go through 20 corners today in some capacity. So we're going to kind of go through, I'm going to do a little bit differently than I did with the wide receivers yesterday. Not going to necessarily like narrow it down specifically and, you know, kind of go, you know, filter by filter here, but I'm going to go through each of these first and then kind of give you the tiers here. And then we'll kind of go through which ones potentially make sense. So we're going to go through the first list here is the 11 corners that are on PFF's top 100 list. So there are 11 corners. Number one is DJ Reed. We've gone through DJ Reed in great detail. You can see the deep dive of his if you want to go out and watch it. I already put that out there. 5'9", 188, 28 years old, outside corner, 70.7 PFF grade, 91.7 passer rating, did have 11 penalties. My thought process overall here for DJ Reed is he is going to get, surprise, surprise, massively overpaid as the top corner on the market, and he is a good but not great corner. 28 years old, 5'9", not Green Bay's cup of tea, probably not something Green Bay is going to go after. Travarius Ward, number two on that list, 6'1", 196, 29 years old, outside corner. Last year, had a 56.2 PFF grade, 119.1 passer rating, did have three penalties. The year before, though, 84.7 PFF grade, 63.7 passer rating. For those of you who don't know, had a tragedy within his family, brutal situation, was not the same player. If you're getting 2023 Travarius Ward, he would be the top corner on this list. If you're getting 2024 Travarius Ward, I'm not sure he would be in the top 10. So it's a very interesting sort of dynamic and scenario there that you have to kind of vet out if you're a GM. There's a reason he's high on this list. He's very talented, fits Green Bay very, very well. I would not rule Travarius Ward out of Green Bay. We know Travarius Ward wants a change of scenery because of what happened last year. And I could see Green Bay being the kind of perfect community atmosphere, just focused on football and exactly what he's kind of looking for. We'll see. But I would not rule Travarius Ward out of this as a possibility. If you do go and give Travarius Ward a huge contract, though, you really, really need to get 2023 Travarius Ward and not 2024 Travarius Ward. Well, we made it 1 week in the books with no football whatsoever. And I don't know about you guys, but I made it in large part because it was a phenomenal week on Prize Picks. And Prize Picks has you set for all of your favorite sports, not just football. And it is such a great time of the year to get invested in college basketball, soccer, pro hoops, and much, much more. And while there's never a bad time to sign up, right now you can download the app and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. So what will your Prize Picks be this week? Here are mine. I'm going with James Harden for LA. I'm also going with Karl-Anthony Towns in New York. I think he's going to have a massive week. Lastly, I'm going with Leon Draisaitl for Edmonton as hockey gets back in full swing this upcoming weekend. Just make sure that you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. Rasul Douglas, we talked about with Justice the other day. It just should absolutely be a no. Took a massive step back this last year. Does not look like himself and looks two or three steps slower. Just stay far away, especially if the contract's anything what PFF and Spotrac are saying it's going to be. Let some other team overpay for Rasul Douglas. Carlton Davis, I haven't discussed a ton yet. Had the opportunity to go back and watch some of his tape. I really like what Carlton Davis put on tape this past year. 6'1", 206, 28 years old, outside corner, 74.5 PFF grade, only an 87.9 passer rating, had eight penalties, but that's not a huge deal, especially with some of the islands that Detroit and Aaron Glenn put him on. Still a really, really good player. Would not hate Green Bay going after Carlton Davis at all and would not rule that out. Again, 28, you could sign him to a 3-year deal, 28, 29, 30 years old in those 3 years. I feel comfortable with that. could easily play within Jeff Hafley's defense, would not rule him out at all. Asante Samuel Jr., we did a deep dive on him. We talked about it. He just can't tackle. He's 5'10", 180, not what Green Bay is looking for. I would be pretty shocked if Asante Samuel was a Packer. The only thing that would lead me to believe that maybe there's a small chance is he was in for a pre-draft visit when Green Bay was doing all their visits in his draft class. And we know how much Goody usually loves bringing those players in at some point in time. If in fact he does get the opportunity, we'll see if that's Asante Samuel Jr. I don't think it's going to be. I don't think it's going to fit the system, the scheme, what Green Bay's looking for. I would not expect Asante Samuel Jr. to be a Packer. Next one, Byron Murphy Jr. did a deep dive on him as well, but 5'11", 190, 27 years old, outside corner, can play some inside as well. 73.4 PFF grade, 80 passer rating, 4 penalties, quite arguably and quite easily the best season of his career. Still in his prime, 27 years old. This is a real legitimate option for Green Bay. I still think he's going to get overpaid, probably significantly so. I'm going to just stop saying that now. I probably am not. I'm going to continue to say it. But everyone's going to get overpaid. So pick your battles. Pick which guys you want to overpay. I could see Byron Murphy fitting very well. He has the versatility that Green Bay looks for, the size, the speed, the strength, everything. Could easily see this. And again, great fit within Jeff Hafley's defense. So don't rule out Byron Murphy at all. Mike Hilton, slot corner only, not going to be what Green Bay's interested in. Stephon Gilmore, 35 years old, not going to be what Green Bay's interested in. Jonathan Jones, 32 years old, coming off of quite arguably the worst season of his career. Gave up 146.6 passer rating. 5'10", 185, also not what Green Bay looks for. You can take a big red Sharpie and pretty much cross him out in his entirety. Nate Hobbs, slot corner only. And then we get to number 11 on the list, which is Paulson Adebo, which again, Justice and I discussed at length the other day. 6'1", 192, 26 years old, outside corner, 63.3 PFF grade, 78.6 the year before, 67 passer rating, 69.9 the year before. Did have 9 penalties in 7 games. Penalties are an issue. He's a willing tackler. He's got great size, great closing speed. Fits perfectly in Jeff Hafley's defense. This is another one very much to keep an eye on moving forward in this free agency period. So those are the 11 that were in the top 100 of PFF's free agent list. More recently, Kendall Fuller was released by the Miami Dolphins, had the opportunity to throw some tape on him. He's fine. It's not a no. It would be underwhelming / I wouldn't be super enthusiastic about it, but it certainly would not be bad. I think he can come in and play. I don't think he's exactly what you're looking for. 5'11", 198, he's 30 years old, outside corner, can give you a little bit inside if you want it. 66.2 PFF grade, 92.8 passer rating. He does not commit penalties. Like, he's just not a grabby, penalty-ridden guy at all. That's a nice aspect of him. Not a great tackler overall. He's fine. He's fine. It's fine. The one reason where I would see Green Bay maybe having some interest is he is released. Anyone can sign him at any time now. He would not count towards the compensatory pick formula. I don't think Green Bay is going to care about that. I don't think they're expecting to get huge comp picks if teams sign TJ Slayton and Josh Myers, right? Maybe you get a 7th or a 6th or something, but I think for the most part, Green Bay is going to be unbothered by the compensatory formula this year because there's not going to be a player on Green Bay's team that signs elsewhere for a major deal. So I don't think they're going to care, but I would say this is a slight maybe. I don't see it exactly being the move for Green Bay, but not a bad move, just an okay move, a fine move, one that wouldn't move the needle kind of one way or the other. Just fine is what I would say. Some others that potentially are on the slight radar as well. Jordan Lewis, corner for the Cowboys, arguably the best year of his career, can play outside and in the slot, so has that versatility, is turning 30 years old, 71.7 PFF grade, 99.4 passer rating, had 4 penalties. Good player. I would say probably not, but the versatility is a little bit intriguing there. Dante Jackson for the Steelers, 5'10", 180, 30 years old, just going to be a non-starter. Akella Witherspoon, nice year for the Rams last year. Kind of consistently just keeps getting opportunities for teams. I mean, he's 6'2", 195, has the length that Green Bay looks for. He's very, very athletic. Outside corner, 65.6 PFF grade, 99.4 passer rating. He would be a decent sort of one-year stopgap on like a $5 million deal. Again, is that what you're looking for if you're Green Bay? You kind of have guys that can do that already, right? So I just don't see that being what Green Bay should do in this situation. I would rather just draft corners if that were the case. And that kind of goes for the rest of these as well. Mike Hughes, corner for the Falcons, solid year, 71.9 PFF grade, 5'10", 189, 28 years old. He'd be fine. Brandon Stevens for the Ravens as the great 6'1", 215 height and weight, 27 years old, outside corner, but a 54.0 PFF grade, 110.8 passer rating, 7 penalties. Did not have a great season last year. Christian Fulton is interesting. Former high draft pick that didn't work out, played with the Chargers last year and played some pretty good football. 5'11", 197, really within that wheelhouse for Green Bay. 26 years old, outside corner, kind of resurrecting his career, but a 114.4 passer rating when targeted and 9 penalties. Again, it's not going to move you in any sort of real legitimate positive direction. So these can be sort of your, Corey Ballantyne type signing, some of these guys, like a 1 year, $2 to $3 million deal, bring them in, have them compete a little bit. That's fine. But I don't see anything really changing if Green Bay would sign any of those specific free agents, but on the list nonetheless. There are two cut candidates, Darius Slay for the Eagles and Jamel Dean of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Darius Slay, 6 foot 190, but 34 years old, still good. Outside corner, 73.3 PFF grade, 82.2 passer rating, only 6 penalties. Good corner, but that age, 34 years old, it's going to be a little bit of a tough pill to swallow. Jamel Dean, Tampa Bay Bucks, good player. Mr. Consistency, 6'1", 206, exactly the range that Green Bay looks for. 29 years old, outside corner, 75.7 PFF grade, 82.6 passer rating, and 4 penalties. My guess is that Tampa Bay finds a way to keep him around. Can't say that for sure, but I think if they had it their way, they would probably like to keep him in Tampa Bay in some way, shape, or form. So who are the legitimate contenders here to be a corner for Green Bay? I think there are 6 in the conversation, all right? Treverius Ward. Again, you have to really vet out that you're going to get 2023 Treverius Ward. Carlton Davis played some really good football last year. Still 28 years old. Would not put it past Green Bay to at least take a look at him. Byron Murphy Jr., exactly what they're looking for, right? Scheme fit, versatility, age, best year of his career. You can also steal him from Minnesota, which is nice. I think he's on that list. Paulson Adebo, very clearly on the list. In fact, well, we'll talk about that in just a moment. I think Kendall Fuller is a slight possibility. And then Jamel Dean, if he came available, would be a slight possibility. Those would be on like the fringes there. Christian Fulton, maybe somebody like that is like a fringe roster player, somebody to come in and compete. But the 4 to me that are really in this conversation, Treverius Ward, Carlton Davis, Byron Murphy, and Paulson Adebo. And I'll even take you one step further. I will narrow you down to 2 corners, Paulson Adebo and Byron Murphy Jr. Those to me are the ones that make by far and away the most sense. You're talking about, physical outside corners that can tackle, are willing, that have the size, speed, strength. I think Byron Murphy not only could play outside and inside, I think if you needed to, him to at some point, I think he could play some safety in a pinch too. I think he's going to give you great versatility. I think you're overpaying for him. Like I said, I'm going to keep saying it, but you're going to have to overpay for somebody. And I would not hate if it was Byron Murphy Jr. And again, stealing him from Minnesota, not the worst case scenario either. To me, Paulson Adebo makes all the sense in the world. That to me is the one that you are getting, that young player who fits within the timeline, who probably, wouldn't be available had it not been for some injuries and for the Saints just not having any salary cap space. He looks the part. I think there is so much more upside there. I think he fits Green Bay's defense much better. And that's what you're looking for. A young player that hasn't had the huge opportunity to prove himself yet, that is a super freak athlete. And if he gets to Green Bay in a new defense that fits him perfectly, then you could see him take off at an entirely different level. That's the one to me to really, really circle for Green Bay. I think it's either Paulson Adebo or Byron Murphy Jr. I think Justice had the same, right? In his plan, I think those were the two he kind of narrowed in on as well. I mean, again, we talked about it with Justice yesterday with wide receivers. There's a reason why like DK Metcalf you keep calling for, or Devontae Adams is the one that you maybe consider, because it's what Green Bay needs. There just, again, isn't a super deep group of players that fit exactly what Green Bay is looking for. At wide receiver, it's maybe DK if you can get a trade, maybe a Devontae Adams, and maybe a Darius Slayton, something like that, MVS, but there's very slim pickings. At corner too, you can narrow it maybe to 4, Treverius Ward, Carlton Davis, Byron Murphy Jr., and Paulson Adebo. But to me, the two that make all the sense are Byron Murphy Jr. and Paulson Adebo. I'd be good with either of them, even if you do have to overpay a little bit. I think they'd both be really good value adds for Green Bay, would give you a legitimate starting corner in the secondary. And I do really love the idea of Paulson Adebo potentially taking off as a stud corner in Jeff Hafley's defense moving forward. All right, that's our corner group. Let me know who you are interested in. Of those lists today, DJ Reed, Charvarius Ward, Rasul Douglas, Carlton Davis, Asante Samuel, Byron Murphy, Mike Hilton, Stephon Gilmore, Jonathan Jones, Nate Hobbs, Paulson Adebo, Kendall Fuller, Jordan Lewis, Dante Jackson, Akella Witherspoon, Christian Fulton, Mike Hughes, Brandon Stevens, Darius Slay, or Jamal Dean. I should add in one more time, Slay and Jamal Dean are not available yet. Those would have to become cap casualties or trade options, but those are your options. Who are you interested in? For me, say one more time, Byron Murphy Jr., Paulson Adebo. If you're Green Bay, go get those players. And I would be very happy with either of those two. That's going to do it for me today. I'll be back tomorrow with defensive ends, a huge one, one that we're really going to want to take that deep dive into. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Step Keat, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Rasul Douglas time. Appreciate you guys a ton. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, Go Pack Go.